listening to Pop the Kettle On with Nicole Essio and Dr. Rachel Bushing.
Hi, I'm Rach.
And I'm Nicole, and welcome to Pop the Kettle On,
where the Parenting, Womanhood, Marriage, Baby and Life Review podcast. We sit down and dissect the good, the bad and the ugly of family life and have a laugh about how it's depicted in popular culture.
Because it's always tea time.
Yes, it is, my darling.
Yes, it is, right in front of me. Thank you very much, Rach.
Oh, it's so lovely to see you.
It's lovely to see you too. Cheers to Merry Christmas Survival.
Cheers.
We did it.
We did it. And we're sat here in the lovely kind of like twilight zone between Christmas and New Year.
It's a nice place, isn't it?
I think so.
Where you don't know what day it is and you're all confused.
I know. I saw a meme last night that said that it was like that lovely time when you don't know what day it is, who you even are, and what dimension you are from.
Yes. That's where I'm feeling right now. And then you texted me back into reality and said, let's do our podcast.
Let's
and I went, oh, yes, please.
Yes, because we're both having a staycation.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. It's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Paul was talking bowling and movies this morning. So, we're making plans.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so how was your Christmas?
It was lovely.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Lots of beautiful little catch-ups.
Yeah.
Friend catch-ups. Like nice. Friend family catch-ups.
Yeah. Family you choose.
Exactly. Yeah. As well as seeing the family and it's been great.
Oh,
yeah.
That's
and the
so
twins
nice.
Had their birthday as well.
Of course. Mm. Oh, yes.
Boxing Day birthday.
Boxing Day babies. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How'd that go?
Yeah, good. Good. We always go to the beach. We always catch up with my dad's side of the family down at Ballina at the beach.
Yep.
And take all our leftovers. So we've done that ever since my parents split. And when I was little, we'd do Christmas at Mum's and then catch up with Dad's family Boxing Day. And now we don't need to do that anymore, but we just like to.
Yeah, why would you not?
And it was a gorgeous day at Ballina. We were sort of in the inlet of the river, and there were dolphins.
There were not.
There were dolphins.
Do you have photographic evidence of said dolphins?
No, they were too fast. I know.
I don't know if we believe her.
Oh, it was a magic day. Christmas Day, Boxing Day was beautiful weather in Brisbane.
It was, yeah.
It was
I mean, heat waves in the south and across the west, but yeah, we've been very lucky this year. So
it was gorgeous.
Yay for Christmas. But yeah, it's getting cracking on the new year and, we have stuff to talk about, Rach.
We do.
And you've done homework.
I have.
I'm so proud because I never assign you homework and I finally did and you sorted it out.
Well, I did do it last minute.
It's the only way to do it, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah.
And I was up last night watching Mumsplaining. So
Mumsplaining.
Today we're talking Mumsplaining.
We are.
Do we have to say Mumsplaining every single time?
Can we say it once and then not be done with it?
Say Mumsplaining.
Mumsplaining. So it's Kristen Bell's series that she does in conjunction with Ellen for YouTube, sponsored very, very obviously by a company that makes baby products. So, yeah, that's one thing that it keeps coming up about, you know, cleanliness and hygiene and baby products.
I see.
But, you know, other than that, there's lots of good stuff in there.
Right. Because I did watch the whole lot, I think.
Wow.
I think because I was watching it on Ellen Tube,
yeah.
On my phone. And it has season one and then season two.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed the product placement only in season two.
Yeah, very, very obvious in season two. but, yeah. What did you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love Kristen Bell.
Me too.
She's just lovely.
Yeah.
She's gorgeous.
And also just a real human being.
Yeah.
Mm.
Is there anyone on the planet who doesn't want to be her best friend?
I don't know. If there is, we have not met her or him. Yeah, she's a pretty delightful human.
Yeah, she's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really liked it.
Yeah.
I think, unfortunately, though, now I have that weird crush on her and Dax, like everyone.
A couple crush.
Like everyone does. Because I've been listening to Dax's podcast this year as well.
Yeah, me too.
What's it? Armchair Expert.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about that everyone projects this kind of image of perfection and onto them.
Yeah.
Like, you're so amazing and you're like the best of friends and you're so funny and you're so down to earth and la, la, la. And he's like, yeah, it's not all, you know, perfect.
Sweetness and light.
I know. But I'm just kind of like, and also the pressure because they're like hashtag couple goals.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, oh God, no, I feel the pressure of the world of like, if we split up, people, you know, romance is dead, all that kind of stuff. But I mean, yeah, because I haven't seen her in very much, actually, Kristen.
Haven't you?
Not really. I didn't watch Veronica Mars.
I never watched that.
I only watched that...
Good Place?
Yes.
Yeah, I
watched
Good Place.
That's probably the first thing I've actually seen her in.
Did you not see Forgetting Sarah Marshall?
I only watched that like a month ago.
Wow.
Because we're scrolling through Netflix and I've gone, I've never seen that movie.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really amazing.
Oh, and I did like see the Couples Retreat one. I did see that when it came out. Have you seen that?
I have seen that. I did not enjoy that film.
It's awful.
It's so bad.
But I went back and watched it because Dax was talking about filming in Tahiti.
Or something beautiful.
Oh, it's not. It's
Bora Bora or something.
That's what it is. Bora Bora. Yes.
And so you're like... I want to see this.
I know. I was like, because he tells a story about like going exploring in the islands and getting lost and nearly drowning and all this kind of nonsense. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I really want to like watch this movie. And then I'm watching it going, oh, how is this so bad?
It's really bad.
It has a lot of good actors in it.
Yeah, but it's terrible.
It's awful.
I think it's one of the ones that I've walked away from. There's a few movies that I've walked away from and there's others that I should have. But yeah, Couples Retreat was one of the ones.
As in, I'm in like, the cinema?
No.
Okay.
I think just watching it at home.
Oh, got you. Have you ever walked out of a cinema?
Ooh, no. I don't think I have.
I'm like morally opposed to that idea. It shows a lack of character.
I'm just too miserly.
I'm like, I've paid for this ticket. I am sticking.
Yeah, whereas I've read somewhere else, I've paid for this ticket. I don't have to pay any more of my time. Like, I've wasted my money. Yeah. I don't want to waste any more time.
Yeah, so I don't know. I always hang in there like I'm an optimist. There's a chance it may turn.
It may turn.
It may come
get
good.
Better.
My husband does this thing where we're driving in the car listening to a song on a CD. And he'll be like, I'm over it, and skip the song halfway through.
Yep.
And I'm like, let it play. And he's like, I can't stand that song. And I'll go like, well, I don't really like it either, but just stick with it.
Wow.
I don't know why.
Do you read books to the end that you don't like?
No. But that's mostly just because I don't have the time for the sitting and the reading.
Right. Interesting. So bits of time you're okay with wasting. But big chunks, not so much.
I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is.
That's hilarious. I love it.
Anyway.
But you wasted lots of time last night watching Mumsplaining.
I did. And I was assembling Lego because that's what mums do for the week after Christmas.
They do. Or they step on it and scream.
Yeah. Well, my now 7-year-old son is like... Oh, that's a nice set. Can you put it together for me, Mummy? I'm like, you are big enough to build that yourself. Oh, yeah, but I'd really like you to do it for me, Mummy.
Wow.
But I was actually, then he got a Lego set for his birthday and then he was pulling out his other old Lego sets and going, can you build this? La, la, la. They wanted to make an entire Lego town.
Nice.
Yeah, the two twins and the 3-year-old who still goes around and likes to throw cannonballs at Lego town.
Well, yeah. That's the point of being free.
So anyway, I did. I think I watched the whole thing. It was
That's
a bit
amazing.
Hard to see on my phone.
Yeah.
So I at least listened to the whole thing.
So if anyone doesn't know and hasn't checked it out, Mumsplaining is Kristen Bell basically busting some mum myths and talking some serious real talk, including the time that she had mastitis and had to get Dax to sort it out for her. So she'd stopped feeding. She was, you know, she'd weaned the little person off and, yeah, got mastitis after and so had no child with her to relieve and she'd already weaned. And so, yeah, hubby stepped in. That's serious hubby points right there.
It's so relatable.
Yeah. Well, not specifically, but yes. But in that, the gross things you do when you just have to get it done.
It just has to be done.
Yeah. I was watching the grossest things your kids have done episode again, which made me laugh.
Yep.
Because, you know, they really are gross, small humans.
Okay, Nicole, what's the grossest thing your kids have done?
There's a big two was like a chucker. He, oh my goodness, after every feed was just like vomit everywhere. Mm-hmm. That was pretty gross. And also, it felt wasteful. in that way that, like, I've made the effort to make this milk for you.
Mm-hmm.
Stop guzzling so much and you won't vomit. But yeah, what another thing that he did to me was, as I was putting both the Bigs to bed one night when they were small, he held his finger up to me and it was dark. And so I just, like, put it in my mouth, like, kiss, kiss, kiss. And yeah, and then he went, ha, booger. Yeah, that was pretty gross.
See, I was thinking poo.
Yeah.
And then for some reason, booger just, like, threw me for a loop. And I'm finding that even more disgusting than the idea of poo. What is that movie where she's going, is that chocolate or poop? Chocolate or poop?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
But it's a mantra of parents everywhere, I think.
Yeah.
It's the question you always ask.
It's one where some childless person is watching a mother do this, and then she tastes it to see if it's chocolate or poop.
Oh, that's gone too far.
What if it had been poop?
Yeah.
Good thing it was chocolate.
You just go for the sniff, everybody. That's a mum tip right there.
Mm.
Go for the sniff first.
Yeah.
I know. Gross. What about your little people?
Was it Scarlett Johansson that was talking about, like, sliding around?
Sliding
in
around him. No, in poop.
In poop.
Yeah, we've become that podcast. We're just, you can listen with your children because they'll laugh along now. Poo, 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 poo.
I don't know. See, I just think that stuff is so much a daily occurrence. I can't even think of the most disgusting thing.
Yeah.
But I know that they went through a phase of just wanting to use the front yard as a toilet instead of the actual toilet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, never had that.
Just more comfortable.
Fair enough. That.
Yep. Okay, fair enough.
There's that old story that went around about, you know, this parent whose child was told, you know, by the dad, you know, like, if you're really in trouble, son, just pee in a tree. Like, just go behind a tree and pee there. Like, if you're running out of time, that's your go-to.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and then, like, mum parent took child to the shops and found said child peeing on an artificial plant at Meijer.
Oh, my
I think it's urban myth. I'm not sure.
No.
But I can picture it.
Well, this could also be urban myth because I didn't witness it, but I used to work at the theme parks when I was in uni.
Yep.
And I worked there for like 4 years in the holidays.
Yeah.
And a workmate told me a story that a grown adult tourist had done that in a garden bed, number two.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I know. That's... And you know how when you go to places that are frequented by tourists and there's the sign that sort of says don't squat on this
toilet.
And do not squat on the floor. Mm-hmm. Sit on the toilet. And this is how you make it work. And I always just think about, like, yeah, and not in a garden bed too. That's
I wouldn't have thought you needed a sign for that.
No.
Lesson learned.
You wouldn't think so. But...
Mm.
So anyway.
Amazing. I enjoyed that one, Mum's Planning. I like the Melissa McCarthy episode because I love her too. She's hilarious.
Yeah, she's great. I actually like the one with the girl I didn't recognise, the girl from Scandal.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know who she is?
Is that Kerry Washington, you mean?
No.
The other girl.
It's the one where she's talking about having mastitis.
Oh, okay. I didn't know she was a famous person.
Yeah. I just thought they're like... That she was super candid in that one.
She
was. Because you can tell that they're friends.
Yeah, it's lovely. Yeah. Well, because there's this whole thing where you kind of prepare for birth, really. Mm. Much like marriage, how you do a wedding. You prepare a wedding and you don't necessarily prepare for marriage.
Mm-hmm.
With babies, you seem to have a lot of lessons on birth and birth plans. And, you know, you prepare for birth. You don't necessarily prepare for parenthood.
Mm.
So... And I mean, this is talking young parenthood, obviously. I mean, I'm waiting for teen splaining to come through, and that would be amazing.
Yeah.
All the things that happen when young people have their own minds and do their own stuff rather than just the gross stuff.
Mm.
But yeah, it's interesting that there's these women who can just get together and go, this is the gross thing that happened to me. Yeah. And, you know, it happens to a lot of us.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. And I sort of think, you know, that should be mandatory viewing for, you know, the pregnant ladies to kind of, like, alter your expectations for what it's going to be like.
Yeah.
Although, like, I always...
As long as you alter them down, like, just lower them. Just put their expectations somewhere on the floor. Just leave it there.
Because I just think, I don't know, I really struggle with this personally because I think that, like, there's that whole thing of mums also wanting to do the real talk, which often comes like, this is normal, this is fine, boobs and your husband has to suck it out, you know, sliding around in poo. You know, she does that nipple demonstration where it's like half your breast has to be in the baby's mouth and it's not just the tiny tip. And I think that, like, the, you know, the not yet mother, person who hasn't had kids yet, very easily intimidated by too much of that real talk, I think.
That's possibly true, yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying.
And it's like, because I'm very guilty of being sort of like the let it all hang out kind of, like, you know, have no shame kind of parent.
Yep.
And then, you know, like my younger sister who's like 20 will just look at me like, why would anyone want to go through that, Rachel? I'm like, it's fine. It's great. It's fun. This is actually awesome. But, you know, I don't know.
Yeah. There's that line, like, isn't there? And it depends on, I suppose, the psychological health, perhaps, of the mother-to-be as well, and how they're feeling about being a mum, as to whether that is intimidating and terrifying or as that, whether that's empowering and, you know, makes them more prepared.
Yeah.
Perhaps. I suppose it's just personality types, really.
Yeah. But, yeah, there is that thing of kind of like, you know, we've not normalised experiences of breastfeeding or birth or even holding a baby. Mm. Like, so many parents have never held an infant.
Yeah.
Until they actually had their own baby.
Yeah.
And I find that a bit, like, I was born clucky, so I was like, baby, 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 give me the baby.
Give me the baby.
And also I come from a really large family on my mum's side, where I've got, like, 35 first cousins.
Wow.
And then my mum's, like, one of 10, and she's number 8.
That was a long pause.
I know. Sorry, Mum. It's the nether world.
Yeah, blame the nether world.
Blame the nether world. Anyway, she's 8, so she's like lower down. So there's lots of older ones. So at family gatherings, my cousins were having babies, of like, course, you know, all of that kind of thing. And so it was always populated with lots of people of different ages.
Yeah.
But, you know, meanwhile, my children don't have any cousins. I have 3, and they don't have any cousins on either side yet.
Wow.
And, like,
so they're going to be, if they have kids, they're going to be the ones who have never held a baby before. Possibly. Yeah.
Mm.
Wowee.
And just, I don't know, like, I suppose it is that kind of splintering of society and, you know, siloing of people in there. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Was it different in the 60s where everyone was out in the neighbourhood and, you know, like...
Maybe.
Would people be holding babies much more and just around, you know?
But also, I mean, there's that... You know, you're attracted to something if you're interested in it. So I know small one doesn't have any small cousins. I mean, you know, her brother's younger than her, but she doesn't have any smaller cousins or babies to hold or whatever like that. But she makes a beeline to any baby ever, like wherever we are.
Yeah.
She's as bad as I am. That's just what she does. She just, you know, it's like a radar thing. She zooms in, finds the baby, and immediately asks, can I hold the baby?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Doesn't matter whose it is.
Yeah, that was me.
Yeah. And so, and she's not around babies, but that's just what's in her. So, I don't know. Is it nature? Is it nurture? Is it
personality? I think it's tough because, like, I always wanted to have babies, so I kind of fetishized, like, the pregnant woman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, I can't wait. You know, it's like when you're planning to do an overseas trip, you know, and you're kind of like, I can't wait to be in New York City. And, like,
and you talk to anyone who's been there and get tips. And,
exactly. And then you stand in Times Square and you're kind of like, okay.
Is this a lot of LED lights?
Kind of a bit gaudy, actually. It's not exactly like, and you know, that's, I don't know, maybe today's theme is about parental expectations.
Yeah.
And how it can just fuck you up.
It can.
You can have overly positive expectations, you know. Again, I'm kind of like, I can't wait to have the vomit all over me. That's going to be awesome. But, you know, the reality of actually for me day in, day out with the baby is kind of like, oh, God. I surprise myself by being like, actually, this is not fun and games all the time.
No. And I think that's the other thing is that this series, I mean, you know, it's all of the moments. Like, you know, like that mastitis story is a moment, you know, like the birth is a moment. But the cumulative effect of day-to-day relentlessness of raising a small human because they can't respond to you in a way that makes sense to you and you're trying to interpret and you're trying to work it out and they wake constantly and you're tired, so your responses are not what they would normally be if you're at your sharpest. those stories are harder to tell, I think. And so, you know, you can make a pithy little video about a particular situation, about a vomit situation or a poo situation.
Yeah.
But that idea of, you know, day in, day out, how this affects you as a human is harder to put in a video and make funny.
Yeah. I know.
And so that real talk, for that, there seems to be less of a space for it, perhaps. And not just for mums, but for dads as well. You know, like that, there's a whole lot of, I imagine, research and information from a clinical perspective around how parenting affects dads as well.
I think it is like quite sad, but I think that's the way that it happens. Like, our expectations are set up often by media and what we consume rather than actual relationships and what we're exposed to and people that we're around.
Yeah. And that we don't talk about those things. We talk about the funny story.
Yeah.
But the fact that you're at home and you're, for the 15th time, cleaning up vomit that day and you know, you kind of didn't get outside that day because a small human was not sleeping and you didn't know what to do with yourself. Mm. Those kind of conversations are a little bit perhaps harder to have or... Mm. I don't know.
It's also hard, you know, that whole idea of like when my sister looks at me like, why would anyone want to have kids? I think it's hard to articulate why you would want to have kids. And I think it's because there's so many logical reasons why you wouldn't, particularly if you like your life how you like it. You like an unstained couch and you like, you know, not stepping on Lego. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you have that idea of an element of control over your own life, I suppose, and kids are just kind of like, you need to learn that there's so many factors beyond your control.
Yes.
And I think it was one of the early videos with Kristen when she was with that Catherine Hahn at the coffee shop, and they started kind of talking a little bit about like what's so wonderful about having a kid, and they just talked about like how soft their skin is and the smell, and like, I think the real reason to have kids is like there's no logical, financial, like practical advantage. It's love. And it's really hard, I think, to kind of pin that down.
Yeah.
What it brings to you. And it's hard to say that to people without kids without feeling smug, I think, as well.
Yeah.
Like, I have all of the love all of the time.
Yeah. Well, and because that's also not true. I mean, you know, you can have great relationships without having kids. You can have relationships with kids that aren't yours. You can, you know, there's all sorts of ways in which you can fill that cup that don't mean having a human shoot out of your Hoosier Watsits.
That's right.
So it's really interesting because I don't know how – I wouldn't know how to articulate it, how to say, you know, like why did you have kids apart from I always wanted to, and that's something that I knew I wanted to be, a parent. And boy, am I glad that I made that choice. But, yeah, I mean, when you really – if you want to do a pros and cons list it's sometimes, especially when they're little, it's you know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of the sleep thing. Whew.
Yeah.
Yeah, small two was up in the middle of the night again, so Paul was up, and you know, he's 6.5. And so it doesn't happen often, and, you know, rarely do I wake up because I'm a dead zone sleeper.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that interrupts his sleep, and so that makes him a little less sharp today, and, you know, but anything could wake you up in the middle of the night. So,
Well, actually, this might be a helpful thing because this comes from my husband again. Because when we were childless and we could do things like this and we went traveling in India for a month, and when we got back from that trip and people were like, what is it like being in India? And we were just like, it's amazing. It's horrible, but it's fantastic.
It's overwhelming.
It's traumatic, but it's like, you know, it's both of those things. It's like, because it is so, I think the main thing about India is that it's an overwhelm for all the senses. The smell is strong, it's noisy everywhere, their car horns are like, they play music. They can't just have a simple beep.
People are living their lives in the gutters.
The food is spicy, the poverty is in your face, and it's like, there's not, it's not restful full. It's not, there's no reprieve. It's humans everywhere and lots of stuff going on.
Life is coming at you from all angles.
It's all of the life. But I think, like, that's what's so amazing about it as well.
Yeah, that's
like, we've
really
never been so terrified in our life. We actually landed at the airport in Delhi. And look, we flew through the night and we landed like at dawn and the sun was coming up. And my husband describes it as being like this kind of, it was like we were on another planet.
Yeah.
It was just like, where are we? What's going on? It was dusty outside and we didn't understand how to get a taxi or where to go or what was going on. That's a bit like being a parent, isn't it?
It is exactly like that.
Where am I? It's dusty. How do I get a taxi?
Pretty much.
And I think, like, in some ways, like, you don't feel that sense of fulfillment and joy unless you kind of go through that, because it passes, you find a taxi, you get to your hotel, you make your way through.
Yeah, you muddle through.
And to me, it's rewarding because of that journey, I suppose.
It's so true.
So,
yeah. Parenting.
Do it.
Or don't, or whatever, you know. Live your life. It's good. It's good. Because life is messy regardless.
Life is messy. I had one other note because I think, like, this whole idea of, you know, real talk and busting expectations and just being, she's so accepting and everything's fine. Everything's okay. Whichever way you choose to do it.
Yeah.
When she was talking to that lady about the breasts and she had like a 5 week old or something like that.
Yeah, teeny tiny.
Yeah, that lady from Scandal. And the girl talked about, you know, being at home and not attaching to your baby straight away and, like, this is a stranger in your home and, like, that's normal and that's fine. And she said, like, she had all these other parents saying to her, oh, isn't it amazing the first few weeks? Aren't you just so blissed out?
No.
I was like, who are these parents?
I'm sure there's some.
I don't know.
I'm sure there is. I mean, because, you know, the gamut of experiences are experienced by parents. So I'm sure there's some that have this blissed out zone of loveliness.
Oxytocin bubble.
Maybe.
But I just kind of thought, like, that speaks to maybe just the commercial, you know, the nappy commercial kind of thing. Like, okay, this is what being a parent's going to be.
Yeah.
Like soft lighting, holding the baby, all those cuddles, all those smells, and, like,
sleeping.
That's it.
Maybe sleeping.
Yeah.
They're always sleeping in those ads.
They're always sleeping.
They're always sleeping.
Because for us it was definitely more than the New Delhi airport experience.
Yeah. Well, twins too. Crikey. That's certainly going to shock you out of the ideal that you had in your head. And that is something that is really important for parents to understand at any stage of a child's life, that your expectations are just that. They are your expectations. They are not the reality. They are not the position that the child is in. They are not. So, yeah, that whole expectation thing, just, well, Kristen Bell, just let it go. She's in Frozen. Apparently there's a Frozen 2. I'm sorry to break this to you, anyone who doesn't know. But yeah, let it go, the idea of this perfect human that you've created. They are perfect as they are, who they are, with what they've got. But they're not going to do all the things in the way that you expect them to do or that you want them to do. They are their own person.
Yeah.
And so that control thing is really, yeah. I was much better at that with small one and small two than I was with big one and big two.
I'm now imagining you in a parody video dressed as Elsa on a mountaintop. there probably is one.
I'm sure there is.
Love it when they sort of, like, very smart, clever people and comedians like get together.
I love that. With people who know how to put, you know, words to new songs and make it into a whole thing, putting it to the vision. Yeah, I think that's very clever.
I'm going
to
give it a go. And I'm going to come around and film you in an Elsa dress.
Oh, my goodness, no.
The snow goes white on the mountain. That's not even how the words go.
I don't even know.
Okay.
I try to not think about it because that earworm.
The dust storm swirls around me tonight.
Are you doing an India song? Or you
yes.
Oh my goodness. Right. So that's parental expectations.
Yes.
And how we should drop them.
We should.
And next time, I keep saying next week like it's next week, but it's next fortnight. Next fortnight, what are we going to be talking about, Rach?
Well, we had a listener suggestion, actually.
Listener suggestion!
Yay! And it was a very broad one because it was talking about step-parenting, which I think is awesome. But there are so many depictions of the step-parent.
Yes. everything from Cinderella to...
in our culture. So we might have to have a bit of a think about it.
Yeah. I was thinking like stepmom, mm-hmm. and you were talking stepbrothers, and mm-hmm. we were talking daddy's home, because that's a whole step parenting thing. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Yeah.
The Brady Bunch. Oh no, now I've got you really excited. But there are depictions of step parenting all around popular culture. So we will have mm-hmm. a little think about that and do some homework, and you guys can have a think about it and send in some suggestions at popthekettleon.com.au.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Or how else can they find you, Rach?
I am at littleshopofpop.com.
And I'm on Twitter at Nicole Lessio, and we're also on Twitter at pop_kettle. And we're on Facebook, Pop the Kettle On. And you'll find us there. And we put silly things up there as well. So hit a like button there and follow us along. And, you know, if you want to listen to the podcast on the website, you can do that. Or you can listen on iTunes. So like, subscribe, rate, give us a 5 stars. All those good things. Promotions ended. But, yeah, thank you for spending your time with us over Christmas. And I hope you get some restful time in the netherworld. And Rach, till next week.
Hug your babies.
Hug your babies.
Be kind to yourself.
And be kind, everybody. And be kind to one another. And, you know, have another mince pie. They look really yum, Rach.
We'll
talk to you next time.